Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game. In this episode, your host Lewis Irons sits down with Head of Coach Education Greg Patterson, Head of Football Development Andy Gould, and Boris Kubla of the Croatian FA's Coach Education Department. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me round the table. Before we jump straight into our guest here, Boris, Greg, do you want to give our listeners just a wee bit of background on Boris and why we're so lucky to have him here around the table?
Yeah, we are very fortunate to have Boris here. Thankfully, he's given up his time and come over to input onto our UEFA Pro Licence course, which took place over the last few days. So, where we had Chris van der Hagen, I suppose, earlier in the course, talking about the Belgian way, if you like. Boris has been with us talking about the Croatian way, how they develop players, and of course how, you know, those little bits of, so I suppose, development pieces that they've managed to adapt over the years to, you know, that helped them reach the World Cup final last summer. So it's been great to hear from him. He talks about a relationship he's had with Jim Fleeting since 2001 at maybe UEFA conferences. So it's maybe been a long time in the coming. This is his first time in Scotland, but it's great to have him along and inputting to the pro licence, as I say. Yeah.
Andy, Greg touched on it. What better time than any after what Croatia have just achieved at the World Cup and things like that, the progression that we're seeing in Croatia, to have Boris with us?
Oh, it's fantastic. A very similar country in terms of size and scale, very passionate country, very passionate people, but clearly very good on the pitch, very successful in recent years, not just the national team, the youth teams below that. So you get a sense when you listen to Boris, when you have conversations about the pathway that they have to develop their players, and clearly the amount of work that they do to develop their coaches, which I think is critical to have a good pathway for players.
Yeah, and Boris, Andy touches on the similarities. Here you are in Scotland. Do you see the similarities that you're here?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for the invitation. I'm glad that I'm here in Scotland. It's my first time actually here in Scotland, and especially here on Hampden Stadium with a lot of stories, it can tell. And well, actually, in Croatia, we a small country. It is 4 million people, a little bit more. It's some kind of similar like Scotland. We also have not so many inhabitants. But our country is also very passionate for football, and we also have so much players, actually active players. We got 124,000 players in Croatia. And when you compare with the result that we have, it's really amazing that we made some success. And when we spoke together about the activities, also there is some similar problems in Croatia, same in Scotland, that some concentrated players are on the one place, and on the other there are not so many clubs or players. So we have some challenges to make it together and make good selection and activities which will give us information about the talented players. So our work is usual in all five regions, like selection that we made for the players, and from that selection we finally on the one place with the 21 county instructors and the five region instructors create one team which will go in a national team from under 15 and further. So I think that continuously work over 30 years, because from our independence from 1990s we started to work from the beginning, and we started to work with only Croatian players. So when you compare our success, we made it at 98, and 20 years later we have success again, so we need to wait 20 years again for the next success. But we are a small country, and we have to product players, because we can't buy excellent players from abroad. And this is only future we have. If we go to the big competitions, we will get money from that, and we will develop again. If not, we will be in a problem. So we need to make new challenge how to do it. We only missed two competitions since 1990s. That was since 96. Okay, we played first official UEFA and FIFA games. That was we missed South Africa, and we missed European Championship in Netherlands and Belgium. So since then we were on all competitions since today, and finally the biggest success that we had last year in Russia.
Well, Greg, hearing all that, how beneficial has it been having Boris here, and what can we learn from someone like Boris, particularly with that focus and emphasis that Croatia have on coaching?
I think we can learn an awful lot. Boris has touched on the similarities there, but you know, last night through chatting to him away from the course, you know, Andy and myself started delving into some differences. You know, we started asking Boris about, you know, which they maybe didn't talk so much about on the pro license course, about how they developed the grassroots game. And it's interesting to hear things like that. They have you don't have volunteers. You know, we have a deeply ingrained volunteer culture that they don't seem to have in Croatia. You know, and the amount of education that goes into those coaches even before they get to work with players is an interesting one that maybe Boris will touch on.
Yeah, and Boris speaks about the impact that the coaches obviously have on the technical development of players. It's an obvious thing to talk about, but the results are starting to really be clear, aren't they, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. They speak for themselves, and that's clearly a planned, systematic process to developing coaches, which in turn is there to develop the players. And I guess, interestingly, you know, the first and most important reason for having Boris in was to get and impart knowledge across to the pro licence candidates. So for that group, that cohort, as part of their fourth event, it was very much about looking at not just the system within Croatia, but I guess some of the methodology behind coaching, because each of those coaches need to develop their own understanding, their own knowledge base. And then in the afternoon, we did a bit of tactical work, so some tactical puzzles solving to test the knowledge of the participants as well. So there's a lot that we can transfer, and a lot that our candidates, as well as, I guess, from us, an association, can take from Boris's visit.
Yeah, Boris, Greg mentioned the differences as well that exist between Croatia and Scotland, but I think one of the similarities is that passion in each country for small populations. It's a big passion in both countries, isn't it?
Yeah, this is something that I put in my presentation. There is a small country for the big dreams. It's the same thing, I think, here in Scotland. And also people from the very beginning started to play football, because we are a football country. It's the most popular sport in our country. And guys mentioned education and education process. I would like to say that is one of my topics to share idea and philosophy and approach in our education process for our coaches. We really think that is the base of the good work, to have very good coaches and educated coaches, and after all, after a few years, experienced coaches who will transfer that knowledge to the new coaches again, and then you will have base of educators and coaches who will work on the levels they are very good on. And if you have very good coaches, then you will work with the players. You will have work with the players, which will grow and develop themselves and make continuous improvement during the years because of the knowledge of the coaches they have. We have, actually, Greg said that we have all coaches that are paid for the work, because we think that it's like, well, maybe it's not like good sound, but it's like other business. If you are working and you have responsibility, you will be paid for it, and you have to work very good, otherwise you will not work. And I think that also when you work with the people, no matter what job is, you have to be educated, because work with the people is more sensitive than work with the staff, with the things. And you have to be careful when you want to develop any, for example, fitness components or anything. And if you miss some period which is sensible also for development of the players, you will miss it later when you play in adult football. So it's very important to have good coaches, good philosophies in approach. Okay, sorry. And then if you have that kind of net on the base, you can make a progress and push some talented players and also talented coaches, because for example in Croatia we can really make a point for the talented coaches. Also Igor Tudor is in Juventus, Niko Kovac is in Bayern Munich, Zlatko Dalic is the second in the world, and Nenad Bjelica left almost in the quarterfinal in the European Championship. So many talented coaches we got, and I think it's a good process in Croatia which is from 2003 when we got license from UEFA, continues. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's something we certainly share, isn't it? Talented coaches, when you look at some of the names Croatia are producing, like similarly ourselves. But if we look at this current batch of coaches that are getting to listen to the talk yesterday, what do you hope that they can take, Greg? That may seem like a golden question there, but
maybe it is a golden question, but Andy touched on it earlier when, you know, Boris kind of gave that general overview of the Croatian philosophies, the Croatian way, style of play, etc. yesterday morning, and then went a bit more in depth yesterday afternoon looking at the kind of tactical approach to that. And that was interesting, and I think Boris might tell us differently, but I think they all took to that very well. And there was some good discussion and debate around about that. So, you know, as much as there might be different ideas in that regard, they'll come together and they'll be able to bounce off ideas. So it might not strike them at this point in time, but they might, it might be in a game situation in 3-4 years' time that they're involved with. They might think back to that moment, that afternoon that they spent with Boris, breaking that game down, Boris asking questions of them, and it might just help them somewhere along the line. So, kind of, you're asking for where, we're not sure where it might help them, but it might help them somewhere, as I say, along their path, and I'm sure it will.
Yeah, and you could see they were receiving it really well yesterday, didn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think building on what Greg said and having Boris here, the nature of a pro licence course is now that you've got a very broad group of people. Some of those will become managers and possibly at a very top level of the game. Some of them may become assistant managers, coaches. Some of them work in academies at a very high level. So they're not all necessarily going to do the same job. So what was really good about the presentation that we got from Boris was it was very broad. Somebody will be able to take something from it in terms of whether or not they were working in a national association, and there's an understanding of the pathways and the how you identify talent and develop talent for managers, about the environment and what are the key things you develop to make sure you have the right environment. And then I guess for all of them, which we want them to have as a tactical knowledge, and what Boris was doing was testing that a little bit, challenging that a little bit, giving his view and philosophy, because there are lots of different philosophies, lots of different ways to play the game, and the beauty of football is that there are lots of different ways to play the game. So that was great for us and for our coaches to see that different approach and to try and understand it. So there was a lot, I think, to take from it, something different for each coach.
Yeah, and I guess as the country as a whole can take inspiration from other nations and how they do it. Similarly in Croatia, you must look at other countries and how they operate. Is that the same sort of?
Yeah, our approach to that problem is that we want to know everything that others do, usually other philosophies, to take benefits from that philosophies. But on the other hand, we have to have on our minds our history, our mentality, our specific mentality of the players. We discussed a lot also about the players, which are sometimes very useful, and they will follow philosophy of the coach, and the other hand, they will be not in a good mood, not in a good concentration. They will have some behavior which is not acceptable in a football game. So you have to adapt, especially when you, for example, look at the different countries which have straight rules in the game and a straight way of doing the job and the playing football. You can take something, but you need to be very careful because you can't put everything in the domestic way, and you need to adapt and choose only thing that you can use. And also some coaches has some behavior to take something from YouTube, something from Google, something from internet, and just copy and put in an exercise and don't understand what they are doing. And they need to be very careful to plan what they want to achieve in that coaching session, in education session, in the training session, what they need to do, what they need to have, like demands, what tasks they will give, how they can control the situation on the field, how they can maybe make it easier or harder. And it's always some challenge for the coach to be concentrate on the field, not to put hands on the chest, on the body and just look, not to tell anything. He need to be interactive, yeah, all the time with the players. Players want to be sure that coach is watching, that he will coach him and watch him and find the good information that he will play next time in the game and improve themselves and also develop during this training session. Success of the player, when you have approach from the player wants to be better and better, and he want to make success. That's the only reason that he plays. And when those players became a coach, it's a different story. You need to care about the players, each of them individually, but mostly like a team. So you need to be in a different philosophy.
Yeah, and I guess it sounds like there's a consistency filtered through the setup in Croatia, isn't there? But then each coach will have their different ways of operating, which is relative to these managers and these aspiring coaches that they can take into their careers, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think it's the engagement there that Boris is probably talking about, an engagement of the coach to the player and that group of players, and trying to get the very best from their sessions. And that, as you say, runs right through all our coach education courses, and certainly listen to Boris, like his grassroots leaders course, if you like, is very big. You know, I think you talked about 120 hours, is that right?
We had a problem with our government, because UEFA wanted to have education behalf UEFA and make some documents which will approve someone to work in football. And as Croatian FA, we were not allowed to issue any document which is not covered with the government for Ministry of the Sport. So we need to adapt our programs to the level of the education that is usual behalf of Ministry of Sport, and we need to adapt it to the 120 hours as a first education. We started with the 60, like UEFA suggested, but we need to adapt it to the 120, because that was the law in Croatia, and it's still. So we can't have any education which is lower than 120 hours and give possibility to work in the sport, no matter is it football or handball or any other sport. So we need to have it like a limit of minimum hours. So we started with that, and also we adapt those courses for the lower level of education, for C level, for grassroots level. And now when they finish, they have two documents. One is issued from the Football Academy Education Department, and one is issued from like a Ministry of Sports. So two documents allow them to work on the field. So it is a kind of obstacle for usual use of rules of UEFA, because it's sometimes a little bit different than some laws in countries, especially from, I don't know, I heard from Portugal, they also have some problems and something like that. For example, in Scandinavia's country, there is no problem, because they can only have 12 hours, 20 hours. But on my opinion, I think that there is no one on the world can work with someone if they have only 20 hours. It just can be some kind of playground or some play with the children. But if you want to be careful, for example, if you have professor of physical education that is working in the school and working with the kids in the school, so they need to pass all levels of education to be sure that they will work appropriately for the ages, from the some level of biological or physiological growth. So I think that education is a base. Okay, 120 hours we have on a base, but also I think that good education, long education, and education which is under the mentoring work and coaches which are on the higher level of education will finally product good coaches with good work. It's not just law that is obstacle. I think it's a real life that you need to have experience in the work and education also before.
So it sets the bar high then, doesn't it, in terms of what you need to...
Right from the start, yeah. And, you know, Boris is saying that he doesn't think 20 hours. You know, if you do our kind of 1.1 and you're on a 1.2, that's 18 hours. You also do a child wellbeing course. So that's we're round about that 20-hour mark before, you know, we work in tandem with the SYFA for a minimum requirement of coaches, grassroots coaches, to work with them, to work with our young players. So very different in that approach. You know, they're doing 10 times the amount of education, but, you know, the carrot there, I suppose, is that they're making that sacrifice then in their education to then get paid employment from that. So it's culturally, it's very different. You know, we have that volunteer base, the reliance on the volunteer, whereas they're looking at the paid instructors at the early age, yeah.
So I guess both have pros and cons, Andy, don't they, in ways? There's both that can kind of have the success.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And it's interesting to hear Boris talk about that professional approach, and we're aware of that in Croatia and some other countries, you know, even further east. I think, you know, the UK base is very much around about the volunteer, and that drives a huge amount of the participation in our country. So, you know, there are certain things you've got, so it's about how you work with that in your own context, how you take as much of those messages as you can that Boris talks about are vital to ensure that you have got a coach that is able to work with whatever age and stage you think is appropriate. And for us, you know, we can take certain things from the presentations and the conversations, but we've got to also make it work for our own context. But, you know, I like listening to Boris. He talks about the personality there in terms of coaches. I think that's an important thing. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, if you have a knowledge of the game, that's fine, but if you don't have a personality, then you can't impart that knowledge. So a strong and a strength of any individual coach, probably working at any level, is their ability to have a relationship with the player. And the player ultimately becomes the most important part in all of this. So we've got to try and support that development of the player and nurture it as best we possibly can.
I think with Boris Spinover, and Boris and I spoke about it yesterday, you can't. It's great to learn and to hear from these people and to benchmark against them, but you can't simply just copy. A photocopy is never as good as the original. It is about, as Andy's alluded to there, it is about taking ideas and what will work from us, from Boris's model, and hopefully Boris has maybe got some ideas from us through our chat. What little bits of information can he then take back? And it's about trying to mesh them together to get that best model that suits yourself. It's not taking everything that Boris, as much as we might like to, but it's not taking absolutely everything that he spoke of in that last time.
I just want to say regarding coaches that in Croatia, that is... we make input in criteria for licensing clubs that they need to have, all coaches have to be licensed. So if you have, for example, club which will be on a fifth league, mm-hmm. and criteria is that you have to have three coaches licensed in a club with a license, not volunteers, mm-hmm. not people who will work in a club, three with licenses, and only them can be leading teams that they need to have on that level of competition. On the higher level, it's a higher licenses and higher number of the licensed coaches.
And we would be the same.
So that is something that is based also for coaches too.
Sorry, you have, I think you mentioned yesterday, there are around about 1,400 clubs.
Yes.
Supporting those 120,000 players, is that a licensing that is a requirement across all of those clubs?
Yes, all clubs needs to have licensed coaches. And okay, it's like in other business and in other sports. If you are good, you will stay. If you are not, maybe some other will come, or you will have to make improvement in your work. Yeah. So in the beginning, we had a lot of problems because we didn't have so many coaches. So that was some temporary decisions to, okay, you can work, you don't have to have, but in 5 years, you need to educate locate your coaches or find coaches that you will have in the licensing process. So we are strictly agree about that, and in all clubs we are really proud that we have licensed coaches. Sometimes that was a decision to make one coach for the two teams, so he can be with the two teams, but in this year's this is not possible anymore because we have enough coaches and we have now so many educated coaches.
Because Greg, you said yourself you have to obviously make it work for what works for you, if you like, and Boris mentioned it himself, they and everything Croatia do, they remember their culture and what's key to them, and similarly with us, we know how important that volunteer base is in terms of keeping our game going at that sort of level, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah, and even looking back at what Boris has spoke about in the pro licence, you know, that, you know, clubs, you know, if there's 22 people on that pro licence course, each club that they come from will have their own culture. You know, you've got maybe John Daly and Liam Fox there that will think about the game and play the game differently. You've got Barry Nicholson down at Fleetwood Town. So they'll each have their own kind of club culture as well that will allow them to take some of that stuff or maybe not take it all to an extent. And then take forward what they possibly can to try and attain best practice, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Yeah, because ultimately you're trying to build as round and as wholesome a coach as you can, if you like, by giving them bits of everything to take away.
Absolutely, and a big part of the course is not just then the likes of Boris, or we talked about Chris van der Hagen coming in. A big part of the course is also the candidates understanding, regardless of what the philosophy, actually how you create that environment. Because creating an environment is the first thing. So you have an understanding of the way you want to play and the way you want coaches to behave and the way you want the rest of the club to operate. You then need to figure out if you're going into a club and you're new into a club and you have a role of prominence, whether it's a manager role or a leadership role, actually what do you need to do to create that? So that's a big skill in itself. It's a difficult thing because there are so many different dynamics involved. There are so many different people involved. So the role of that person going into the club as well, making a judgment on what the club looks like, how long you might have when you go into that club. And, you know, at the very top level of the game, we know that managers and coaches have such limited time. You know, if we focus on the professional game just for a minute, you know, they have such a short period of time. Winning is the most important thing at the very, very top. So how do you go about changing that culture? Whereas maybe more at the grassroots level of the game, you've got more of an opportunity to, over a period of time, make those changes, make that culture look right and that environment look right, that is really good and best practice for developing the players and retaining them and hopefully pushing some of those players to the very, very top of the game. So it's fascinating, the kind of different elements that are involved in it.
Absolutely. And Boris, we spoke earlier about what obviously we can take and what the coaches can take. What can you take as you head back to Croatia?
Well, actually, spirit that I find here, a passion for football that you got also, and reality that you are ready to make good success, develop yourself, and the strength that you want to go straight to make some result. It's very, very positive, and I really enjoyed to be with the guys here. I also mentioned one situation from the past that Scotland is one of few countries that beat us in one competition for qualification, 2013. So it was a 1-0 in Croatia and 2-0 in here in Scotland. So I think that every country can have a good way to make success. They need to be patient sometime, have idea and go straight and have a dream to go to success. And I think that Scotland has it, and I think that those guys which I met here in education department and around the FA will make a good way to make success. And I think I will take it with me, and I will support them whenever I can.
And that's from someone who's over and just seen what it's like here. You guys obviously see it in a lot more depth than it is, that passion, that commitment, that drive going forward that we've got, particularly with our coaches, is exciting.
I think it's the common thread that's probably come out of however many podcasts we've recorded at this stage. It is, yeah, and it's you know, Paul McNeil, who's done the podcast, talked, you know, a lot about that and trying to harness that passion, that enthusiasm, in order to help drive things forward. As Boris says, it's almost like that passion and that enthusiasm is the fuel that takes the strategy forward, if you like, to help make things better and to achieve that dream that Boris is talking. You know, he's talking there about 10 years ago, is that right? 10 years ago when Croatia maybe beat us, or we beat Croatia twice. You know, so, you know, can we not get back to that kind of period in time? There's a country that were very, very successful in getting to a World Cup final and producing, you know, very talented players. So, you know, hopefully if we're doing things right and we've got that passion and enthusiasm that you speak of, Lewis, then yeah, we take it forward and we start getting that success again.
Yeah, and then sometimes the most important word, Boris said it, the P word, patience. Sometimes, mm-hmm. Andy, that can ultimately be what it boils down to.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about it at the very top of the game for the manager just a minute ago about going into a club and how much time they have against them, even further down in terms of putting strategies in place, and as Boris said, have a dream and set out your path to achieve that dream. We've certainly got a lot of those plans in place. There is a lot of work going on behind the scenes. There's a huge amount of good people in our game working across all levels. Sometimes we don't notice that, and you know, results sometimes can distract you from continuing to take that path and ensure you get to the goal and achieve what you're looking to achieve. So, you know, I think, yeah, we've got to keep working very, very hard, as we are doing, and trying to push towards that goal and that dream that Boris talked about, because I think we certainly share it, and there might be just some slightly different approaches and methodology behind how you get there. So, no, we've enjoyed having Boris over. He's even managed to see a bit of Glasgow as well and taste a little bit of Scotland as well. So it's been good seeing him, and we'll get the chance to catch up again, I think, at the UEFA Grassroots Convention in Minsk, yes, later on in the year. So
yes,
there'll be further opportunities to kind of build on
other
the
opportunity, of course. The other opportunity is the Under-21 Championships. So mm-hmm. Croatia have qualified for Under-21 Championships, and we take the UEFA Pro License Group across. So I think we're going to be at one game together.
We will be there also in Italy as observers. Our UEFA Pro participants will go there and looking at, they will look on the games and observe games. And we will meet with the guys, maybe we will do something together.
Yeah, because
exchange thinking and opinion, and it will be very good. I'm looking forward.
Us too, absolutely. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. Boris, thank you very much. And guys, as always, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.